Melissa.
Austin.
I'm happy to announce that on our Show After the Show podcast, we have our very first musician guest. Our second guest overall, as we had TJ Miller a couple weeks back, but he's a comedian.
Yeah, and not I don't the musician.
Think he has a musical bone in his body. So I think it's only fitting that we get an actual red-blooded American musician on this podcast. And we are joined now by Kelly Daniels. You are our first musician guest ever. And whenever we have a music guest on, we always play the game of best gig, worst gig. What was your best gig all time, and what was your worst gig all time?
Ooh, best gig all time was Wrigley Field in Chicago opening up for Morgan Wallen.
Come on.
Wow, that had to be something.
What was that like, just being on stage looking out at the friendly confines?
Well, I was born and raised in Chicago. So, you know, after leaving and moving to Nashville and being able to come home and play there was just, it was surreal. It was unreal, even though I'm a White Sox fan, though. So
okay. All right.
Well, then what was your worst experience?
Oh, man, my worst experience was probably there's a big event that happens every year. It's called the Key West Songwriters Festival. Just everybody and anybody is there. All the big hit songwriters, everything. And it was my first year there. It's crazy. Everybody's just drinking, partying for like 7 days straight. And I had a big tour run to Kansas immediately following our return from Key West. And I had spent a week just drinking, partying, everything. And by the time I got to my back-to-back shows in Kansas, my voice was cashed. I was tired, everything. So it just wasn't a good showing.
Oh, my gosh. You see,
every artist has that at some point in time.
Oh, for sure.
Don't you think, too?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that can go wrong. Sometimes the in-ear monitors go out or, you know, you're sitting there wondering if people are enjoying the music. You forget the lyrics to your own songs.
I've heard that happen.
As a Sox fan, I'm just surprised you didn't go with Wrigley Field as your worst as well, you know?
Yeah, no. It's still a beautiful place. Like you said, the friendly confines, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, right. And now, you know, you're from the south side of Chicago, but you're currently living and playing in Nashville, right?
Correct. Living mostly. I used to do the whole Nashville, you know, scene, playing Broadway, playing down on Lower Broad and stuff like that. But, you know, I didn't move here to be in a cover band and just play other people's music and walk around with a tip jug. You know, I moved here to write and record my own music.
Right. How's it going so far? I mean, like, would you say, like, you know, like, is it going on track? Is it going faster than you expected, slower than you expected?
I think everybody's impatient in this business. It's grueling. It's a lot of work, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm blessed. I met some people and, you know, choosing the right producers and things like that. You got to find, you know, who's the right producer, who's the right mix engineer, who's the right mastering engineer and all that. And, you know, the guys who produce most of my stuff are the guys that they have credits all over that Jelly Roll Grammy record. So I was like, wow, like, you know, I guess, you know, back in 2023 when I released my first song, I chose the right guys.
Yeah, that's not always easy to do. Sometimes you have to go through multiples to find the right one. But now you've got your debut EP. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the music and how you got to where you were with all the songs that you put on there?
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I had released about 3 or 4 song singles out of Nashville working with, you know, producers and my producer and stuff like that. And I don't know, I was being impatient, like you said. I wasn't really seeing the growth and things I wanted to see. And then I just kind of had to come to Jesus and really looked in the mirror and said, you know, I'm trying to record stuff that sounds like the radio. I'm trying to record stuff that sounds like Morgan Wallen, and that's not what music is. You know, it's your heart. It's everything that's in you. And so I just said, you know what, with this EP and with this album, I'm gonna put out what you know, who I am and what my story is, and the songs that, you know, really have a true meaning to me. And so far it's worked out great. You know, the A Mother's Heart is a song about my mother. She was a single mother living in Chicago. And, you know, we went through hell. You know, I remember throwing out garbage using a radio flyer wagon for 25 cents in our apartment complex just to help my mom financially. But I realized after all these years and growing up that a mother is truthfully, you know, mother's heart and a mother's love is the strongest force on earth.
Well,
so that's where mother's heart comes from. No problem.
Any chance you could convey that message to Melissa's 14-year-old son, Porter?
Could you do that? Maybe give him a quick call, put him in his place?
You need to just play him A Mother's Heart by Kelly Daniels.
Yeah.
You know what? I wish I could say that I knew that when I was 14.
Right.
But it took me a little bit longer to learn that.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, so, as a mom, I'm a single mom, as your mom was, I mean, having a song like that, you know, there's not a whole lot of those. A lot of times artists sing about their dad. A lot of the movies out there are about the relationship between kids and dad. So I appreciate you putting a song out about your mom.
Well, one of the lines in the song is, she's a mom and a dad, giving everything she had. Sacrifice from the start, collecting scars on her heart.
Oh my gosh. Boy, that hits home for me.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, when we debuted that at the EP release show, I brought my mother on stage, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place. Everybody was crying.
That's so sweet. I love that.
Okay.
Now I'm going to start crying right now.
I was going to say, Son of the Year award has already been handed out to Kelly Daniels. That's for sure.
Well, thank you.
Kelly, you and I kind of swap places. Obviously, you're from the south side of Nashville, or south side of Chicago, living in Nashville now. I'm originally from Nashville, now living in Chicago. And I've kind of bounced all over the country just over my career, but I've always felt this way about Nashville. I wanted to see if you feel the same. Like, when you're in that town, especially when you're in the creative industry in that town, there is this creative buzz in that city, unlike any other city that I've experienced. Do you feel that when you're there?
There is, you know, and that's really the big thing. You know, I feel in today's day and age, you know, you don't have to come to Nashville to do what you want to do anymore with social media and TikTok and everything, you know, and a lot of artists, you know, come into Nashville just to get their songs cut or recorded, and then they go back, you know, and promote them and shoot their content elsewhere. But like you said, you can't compare or compete with, like, just being out and being like, oh my God, there's Taylor Phillips, you know, who just won, you know, Songwriter of the Year, Music Row, who wrote, you know, wrote Morgan Wallen, Think About Me. And it's like, hey man, you know, you next thing you know, you're working with a guy who's just at top of his game, who's got radio cuts everywhere, got number ones everywhere, and he'll just have a beer with you. And, you know, you can talk about the craft and the process and everything.
Yeah, that's the difference,
though. I think the accessibility.
Yeah, well, that's the difference. Like what you said is, you know, you don't have to live in Nashville, but everybody still does go there for the most part, because then they're exposed to those songwriters and they're exposed to everybody. You never know who you're going to run into.
Exactly. You know, and recently, like, you know, I kind of built a little friendship with Jacob Hackworth. He just got signed by the Neil Agency, who represents Morgan, but Jacob's got Morgan Wallen cuts. He's one of the writers on Rock and a Hard Place, Bailey Zimmerman. And next thing you know, he's wild. He's hilarious. But we're all at a party, and then I get invited to an after party, and, you know, we're drinking together. We're hanging out. We're buddies. And then I got a chance to, like, host a writer's round, and I called him up, and he was like, yeah, man, I'll come out. And, you know, so here I got a guy on stage, you know, in a little dive bar in Nashville who's got, you know, cuts like Rock and a Hard Place and Morgan Wallen cuts and all that stuff.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Another game that we always play every time we have a musician on this podcast is, it's called Playlist Game.
I thought I was the first one.
You are. But we play this every single time we have a musician on. We call it the Playlist Game. And it's definitely a name that I didn't just come up with right here on the top of my head.
Uh-huh.
But you have to fill out a playlist of country songs. And they could be your songs. They could be someone else's songs. But you only have 4 spots on this playlist to fill out the entire playlist. What 4 songs are going on there for you?
Ooh, what 4 songs are going to go on there for the playlist?
You could put all Tim 4 McGraw, songs from The Farrier, your latest EP. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I could. But, you know, I'm also the kind of person I like to support my friends and promote them and whatnot.
Sure.
But Tim McGraw, Don't Take the Girl, that song, the writing in that song, I think that's one of the songs that made me want to be a songwriter. Don't Take the Girl, Tim McGraw. Pray All the Way Home, Austin Snell.
Okay.
Oh, love Austin
all right.
Snell.
Yeah.
Another good one.
Yeah. Yes. Pray All the Way Home, Austin Snell. What do you call it? There's one song that I absolutely love. He's not a well-known artist, but we did cut a song together, and we wrote it together. And his name is Brooks Herring, and the song is called How to Fix a Broken Heart.
Okay.
Okay.
And then you said you co-wrote on that one?
No. Me and him did. We did write a song together and release it. That's on in my library. That's called Faded Photographs, which is about my orphan grandparents in Chicago.
Oh, perfect.
But he wrote. He had a song called. And the funny thing was, I had come to him with this concept that hey, I want to talk about what it really means to be like a man, like a true man. You can fix anything. You can do this. You can do that. And he's like, bro, and he played it. And I was like, oh, my God. But anyways, he does that. The whole song, he's saying, I can build an engine from the block up. I can do all these things, but I don't know how to fix a broken heart.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
Well, I could see why you added that to the list.
Seriously.
But, geez, you've got one more space. What's the last one?
Ooh, one more. One more. I'm going to go with The Dance, Garth Brooks.
Oh, okay. My goodness. I love that. You bookended it with two just icons of the industry. And then you've got Austin Snell and you said Brooks Herring, right? It was the middle
Brooks
one.
Brooks Herring, yeah.
But, man, I love this playlist.
I know. Maybe you need to make us a full-blown playlist. Pick like another 25 or so.
Oh, I could give you guys some hidden gems, some artists that nobody knows about yet that will blow your mind.
Oh, that would be kind of cool, actually.
Where's your favorite place outside of your house to write?
My favorite place outside of my house to write. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never written a song outside of my house.
Really?
You're kidding me.
Okay. I'm gonna backpedal there. I do have a song coming out of my album that I wrote 100% by myself in the car. I was driving by myself.
Yes.
A melody came to my head, and I started just kind of humming it and singing it, and I turned on my voice memos, and I just started spitballing, and I ended up finishing it in 30 minutes.
I love that.
I do like those stories when people say that like they're just on a roll, and the song just naturally flows out of their mouth so quickly.
Well, especially when you're driving, too, because like when I'm driving, I feel like I am my most creative, and I come up with my best ideas while I have to keep both hands on the wheel, and it's like I gotta get these notes down somewhere, you know. So then I normally turn to the voice dictation in my notes app or something and get them down as quick as I can.
I drive in silence, so I was driving and just thinking. I was driving down I-40, like in between Knoxville and Nashville, and I was driving down I-40, and I'm always just constantly thinking when I'm driving. And you mentioned, you know, in Nashville, it was like, you know, one of the biggest things for a songwriter is to get your song put on hold.
Yeah.
Well, you know, for like a big artist, Miranda Lambert or Blake Shelton or Garth Brooks, put your song on hold because they might cut it. And that's like one of the biggest, coolest things that could happen to you. And I was just sitting there thinking like, man, like, you know, at this point in my life, I don't even know if I care if somebody puts my song on hold. When is somebody going to put a hold on me? Like me as a human.
That sounds like a song right there. When's somebody going to put a hold on me?
Well, that's the name of the song. I wrote that right there. I wrote it for my wife.
I love that. My goodness. But wait, let's not bury the lead here. As a musician, you drive in silence? You don't put on any tunes or anything?
I mean, not all the time, but most of the time, yes. When I'm traveling from city to city, you know, or, you know, I'll have the whole band in here. A lot of them have their AirPods in, you know, in our little tour bus and things like that. And if I'm driving, I'll drive in silence. And that's when I really do a lot of my thinking, my creative thinking, my marketing planning. Everything just comes to me when I'm driving.
I don't know what it is about being in the car, because I do feel like that is even works for me.
Yeah.
It's like when you're in kind of a quiet place where you can calm your mind down, because when I'm in bed at night on the verge of falling asleep, I can't tell you how many times ideas come to my head.
Yeah, right. Same thing in the shower, too.
Yeah.
I find myself being super creative in the shower.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Where's the...
You gotta start making voice memos in the shower.
right. If I brought my phone in the shower, though, I'd never finish showering, honestly. Kelly, do you have a spot, like, the craziest place that you came up with an idea for a song? What would it be, in the car?
No. Probably the craziest place I came up with a song, that is going to get a little dark here, if you don't mind.
Sure.
But I was married previous, and I was married to a family that was Southern and Christian, quote unquote. And, you know, they were constantly just, you have to live like this, you have to do that. That's just who they were. And it was like, you know, every move you made, they were over there, over you, pointing and saying, you have to do this, you have to do that. But the truth be told is morally, after being, you know, married to that woman and that family for 10 years, I realized that morally they were horrible people.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yes. And I was at the end of my road. I was questioning faith. I was questioning whether God was real. And I left and I took a journey and I ended up somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Mississippi where a bridge had washed out. There wasn't even road close signs. And I got to the end and I'm like, this bridge is gone. And there's, you know, a muddy river down there.
Yeah.
And I asked God to show himself to me. And when I got to the end of that bridge, I said, okay, I hear you. I'm at the end of my road. And I sat at my tailgate and I read my Bible. I started reading the Bible and I got to the point where it said, don't worry, be still. Everything's in God's hands. Everything's in God's hands. And so I got off my tailgate. I went to the edge of that bridge and I said, if it's really in your hands, then nothing will happen to me. And I jumped off that bridge.
What?
Whoa.
You're kidding me.
Yep. Nope. There was mud and metal shards and stuff sticking up. And I said, you know, I'm going to land in that mud and that muddy water and nothing's going to happen to me if it's really in your hands. And I did. I jumped and nothing happened to me. I was totally fine.
Oh, my gosh.
How far of a jump was that? How far down?
Maybe 30, 40 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Kelly.
Wow.
Yeah.
What trust in the Lord right there.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was coming back and I had met somebody and we had breakfast together. It was weird. It was like a truck stop. And he said, you know, he said, I don't like to use the word Christian anymore. I like to use the word disciple. He goes, because sometimes there's no hate like Christian love. And I said, wow.
Wow.
And so I just had gone through that experience. He said that line and I was like, you know what? They are the devil in disguise. And then I wrote Devil in Disguise.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. You have
Kelly.
Such an interesting story.
Yeah, I'll say.
My gosh, maybe you should be writing a book on top of writing songs.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, I always like to say, people ask me, what's your masterpiece? And I'm like, my masterpiece is not out yet. It's hopefully coming out soon. But that one I went real deep with, you know, the bridge of that song alone. She hides behind the faith, but what does she believe? Is she the snake in the garden or the forbidden apple tree? I was blinded by the light and it wasn't as it seemed, a wolf dressed up in wool and I became the sheep.
Oh my God, you're giving me goosebumps.
Seriously.
What the heck? I can't handle this right now.
Oh man.
That is crazy. That's so good.
All the more reason to check out The Farrier. Kelly Daniels' debut EP out now. Check it out. Also, you can follow Kelly Daniels Music on Instagram and TikTok as well.
Yes.
Okay. So
Facebook,
guys,
TikTok, all of it.
Guys, check out Kelly. Kelly, this has been such a treat, man. Not only just because it was our first music guest here on the show after the show podcast, you always remember your first, but also just because your story is incredible, man, and you clearly just have so much creativity between those ears, man, and we love just kind of picking at it and getting to hear from you.
Thank you so much. And if you guys are in Chicagoland, I'm doing my full album release down at 115 Bourbon Street. I'm coming back home to the South Side on April 17th.
Right. That's my old neck of the woods.
Yeah.
I used to work there.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah, I did. I was a server there when they first opened. Crazy. That sounds like a great time.
Awesome.
What's the date on that again?
That will be Friday, April 17th at 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park.
There you go.
Okay, I love it.
All right. Well, Kelly, listen, thank you so much for being our guinea pig as we bring musicians onto this podcast every once in a while.
And thank you so much for such interesting stories, which turn into some fantastic songs.
Thank you guys so much. And I hope you listen and love a mother's heart. I think it'll touch you.
Well, you're probably going to have me in tears before I know it.
She's going to have Porter sit down and listen to it.
Yeah, I just might do that,
listen,
actually.
You sit right there and you're going to listen to this song.
Well, and that's crazy. We have a son named Porter, so.
Oh, my God.
You do not.
The parallels.
Really?
Yeah, he's our youngest.
How old is he?
11.
Okay. Wow. That's crazy that I only know, you, and then I've only heard of one other Porter.
Yeah.
Have you heard of any other kids named Porter other than mine?
No.
Wow. That's crazy. What a unique name. But I love that name. So good job.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Those are my wife's kids. I'm the bonus dad.
That's okay.
So I didn't come up with the name, but yeah.
Oh, no, still. Okay, well, kudos to her. Tell her I said fantastic job on that name.
I will.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly. We'll see you in April. And thank you for taking the time with us, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you guys.